This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What are the objects that define espionage? What secrets lie hiding in plain sight? I'm Alice Loxton, and this is a history of the world in spy objects from Spyscape Studios. It's the nature of humankind to always wonder what lies on the other side of the looking glass. But not everyone gets to find out. The woman you are about to meet, she found out.
I'm Yung Chang. I'm a writer.
Yung Chang is the acclaimed author of several monumental books, including Wild Swans, her memoir about growing up in communist China, told across three female generations of her own family. All of her subsequent writing has, in some way, explored the culture and history of her home country. And yet, it is a country she was destined to leave.
I came to London in 1978, when China began to open up. And in 1976, Mao died, and China was emerging from this sort of isolation and Mao's tyranny. And I became one of the first Chinese to leave communist China and study in the West.
To describe Yung Chang as adventurous would be something of an understatement. She is nothing short of a groundbreaker.
In 1982, when I got a doctorate in linguistics from the University of York in Britain, I became the first Chinese to get a doctorate from a British university.
There, she quickly came to challenge all that she had once taken for truth, the foundations of her childhood in communist China.
I remember there was a good friend in Britain and in London, and he said he knew I was full of fear. He said, the thing about you is you are afraid, but you go on doing it, meaning breaking these rules. You can't help it.
And so, at a time when such things were only just becoming possible, Yung boldly stepped through the looking glass. She began writing her honest assessments of the country she had left behind, exploring the possibility that everything she had been told was a lie. She was never truly to return to her old home. Not that she has a great deal of choice in the matter anymore.
I love London. London is home. But my mother still lives in China, and some members of my family are in China. And all my books are around Chinese subjects. So in that sense, I haven't cut off ties with China. But all my books are banned in China, and I'm persona non grata.
The reason you are meeting Yung now, deep in the archives of espionage and surveillance ephemera, is because she has a powerful understanding of the mechanics of the People's Republic of China, a country that was, under the rule of Mao Zedong, almost entirely inaccessible to the West. And the item she has chosen for introduction to this collection, it's one that paints a vivid picture of life behind that locked door.
In 1966, Mao launched his Cultural Revolution, which was his big purge, to purge people, party officials as well as ordinary people who he regarded as being disloyal to him. And in order to do this big purge, he tried to build up, very successfully build up, his personality cult. And one most important thing about the personality cult was for everybody to wear a Mao badge.
If you grew up in the West, it's likely you have never encountered a Mao badge. But in China, they were ubiquitous.
A Mao badge was like a badge with Mao's face on it. Well, there were several billion badges produced in China in the 2 or 3 years after the Cultural Revolution started. So we had to wear those all times on your left chest, which was supposed to be close to your heart. So there were badges made of porcelain, made of aluminium, made of glass, all kind.
For Yang's older brother, Mao badges represented an opportunity to indulge a forbidden hobby, collection.
My 13-year-old brother loved collection. He used to collect stamps. But in the Cultural Revolution, all collections were banned as a bourgeois habit. So people's instincts in collecting turned to the sanctioned item of the Mao badges.
Soon enough, Yang's older brother discovered that he wasn't the only one obsessively collecting Mao badges.
And he started to deal on the Mao badges with other dealers, and he made quite a lot of money from his dealings.
Yang herself was never that interested in the badges. What she cared about was books.
At that time, books were burned across China. We're talking about 1966-67. Books were burned, and if the Red Guards, which was Mao's task force, came to your house, which was constant, they constantly raid people's houses, and if they saw books, except selected works of Mao and a few authorized authors, including Marx and Lenin and Stalin, and so on. And if this all the other books, and the Red Guard would beat up the owners of the house.
Not an ideal situation for a young girl who dreamed deep down of becoming a writer.
China was like a cultural desert. I mean, you yearn for something to read. I mean, I remember once I stayed with a relative, and in the whole household, there was nothing except Mao's works and a dictionary. So I memorized almost the whole dictionary. I mean, you would just yearn for something to fill your mind.
And that yearning might have been left unfulfilled were it not for Yang's older brother and his illicit trade of Mao badges.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So my brother dealt in the Mao badges and made a small fortune, and he used the money to go to the black market selling books and bought these books. And he brought the books home, and we were then living in a kind of a government compound with a big garden, and he found an unused water tower. And he buried these books there, wrapping them up with plastics and so on. And he brought some books back to the flat. And of course, we had to guard against the constant raiding by Red Guards of our flat. So my brother would often use the cover of the selected works of Mao and put those cover on a collection of Shakespeare, say.
The Mao badge was synonymous with Mao Zedong's cracking of the whip, with his tightening of censorship and his erasure of outside influence. And yet, if it wasn't for those badges, Yang Chang might never have been able to study the foundations of literature.
I was able to read over 1,000 foreign and Chinese classics thanks to the Mao badge.
And if she hadn't had that opportunity, maybe she would have stayed where she was, on the other side of that looking glass, dreaming about what lies beyond. So it's with mixed emotions that she offers this small red pin bearing the profile of a 20th century dictator into the archive. It was just another tool of oppression for many, but for young Chang, it helped set her free.
I'm Alice Loxton. More secrets await in the next episode of A History of the World in Spy Objects from Spyscape Studios.
Explore the collection on spyscape.com/spyobjects. If you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating or leave a review. Ratings and reviews help other people discover the series and help us bring you more episodes like this one. Or why not forward the podcast to a friend? And thank you for listening.